As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. One of the most important and yet often overlooked components of a successful business is culture, both cognitive and emotional. How your team responds to stress and reward success will usually determine the corporate ceiling. Joining me today are the fellows from 8-Bit Studios, a tech building company that has been focusing on culture since before it became a buzzword. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Did you like the intro?
That was great.
Did I leave anything out?
It actually made me cry. It was good.
You are a little weepy.
A little weepy.
I'm going to start this off the way that I think it should be started off. If there was ever a day to don the Don Boris shirt, today was the day. Yet no Don Boris shirt, no hat, nothing.
I don't wear my own shirt.
What?
It's awkward. Yeah.
Well, this is radio. We didn't know we were on camera.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, there is a onesie as well. That's what we'd prefer. So if we can get a baby in here.
Well, you just make like an adult size onesie.
There's mugs. It's really weird at my house.
Yeah, there's mugs.
Just tell you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you're not on radio, this is a rock star moment. You're walking into like a media place. You got to show off a little bit. Where's the flair?
My hair. My hair is the flair right now.
The hair is the flair.
It's like the rock band wearing their own shirt.
You just don't do that. Nice try.
When you have a shirt with your face on it, you walk a fine line between douchebag and grateful. So I got to walk that line. Normally I skew douchebag normally, but I got to really be careful.
I'm going to tell you, my cousin, and I'm not making fun. I love this. I actually asked him to send it to me. I have a shirt of my cousin flexing, holding 240s. And whenever I'm going to go out and kind of like in that mode, I wear it.
Yeah.
Lawson here. That's his name. That's the shirt. So he got a plug today.
Can I get that shirt?
I can. Yeah, we can have you autograph it.
All right,
it's fantastic.
Cool.
So this show already started off weird, which is where I wanted it to be, because this is what it's all about. no, seriously, it is. Because culture is about being who you are. And that's the thing that I think drove me out of working in the normal world of business that I started in and went out on my own was because the culture didn't fit for me. It was like, you sit here, here's your little cubicle, and then when you're cool enough, we'll give you a door, and then when you're really cool, we'll give you an office with a bigger desk. And either way, you just toe the line. And if you start a business like that, you can only expect that that sets the tone for the way that the business conducts itself. And that, in my mind, I don't conduct myself in that way. I think it's pretty clear. It was like I was bumping into people and having trouble constantly. And so I was like, all right, I'm out of here. And you guys, since before this became like a big emotional awareness and all these fancy words that everyone throws around now, this was a major focus for you going back, what, a decade now?
Yeah, we're pretty mature.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't want to date you.
About 7-8 years now. Yeah,
so almost a decade. We'll round up.
Yeah. We'll round up. Yeah, that's we'll fine. Let you do that.
Mm-hmm. You round it up. It's 10 years. So, I mean, what was the focus there? Like, how did you realize, or did you not realize anything? This is how you are, and you just started your business, and that was it.
Cool. Well, John just turned 15, so that helped a lot.
Yeah. So actual maturity.
Happy birthday.
Helped. Yeah. Thank you. No, I think for us, especially in the beginning, it was nice coming from other agencies that. That had cultures that people really did a lot of things in already. And so for us, even starting a company, it was a matter of us, well, look at some of the processes, look at some of the things that we wanted to encourage from, you know, people's participation or getting groups together to do things, and how can we kind of enhance that so that there isn't such a big difference between what people do outside of work or supplemental work and what they do in work. So we've really spent a lot of time really assessing our processes for doing our regular work and trying to make those fun or keep them creative or keep people engaged. And so that was kind of a starting point. It was nice to be able to have a baseline to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I assume that with you guys, you take sort of all of your experiences in the different agencies, as you mentioned, and sort of blend together the parts that work and the parts that don't work. But then somewhere in there, you have to create your own personal identity. And what I think is innovative about how you do what you do is that there's a million tech building companies out there. And there's a million of every kind of company out there. But the ones that generally float to the top and stay at the top are the ones who have a personality that can be sort of infectious and make people feel inspired and make people have passion that maybe they didn't have before. And I think that's one of the things you guys do fantastic. I've only known the two of you, Don and John, for a little while. Steve goes back quite a while. One of my best friends, Doug Polichick, is your cousin. We used to go out back in the day. So, you know, it's awesome to have you sitting here now.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
5 years later.
I know, right?
It's crazy.
And you're doing great, man. It's been great to see you kind of find your place here.
Well, thank you. I feel a little uncomfortable now, but I'll take it in stride.
You know, when we started, the goal was really to create a place where we wanted to go to work, which fun was a big aspect. And, you know, for better or worse, companies take on the personality of their leadership. And, you know, I think we have a good mix. If it was just me be a pretty kind of vanilla, kind of boring place.
Don't sell yourself short there, Steve.
But like the mix of us three, it's like a good balance. So I think for people listening, if you're starting a company, I mean, it's like the company is going to reflect your personality and that for better or worse. So,
well, and I think the other thing, the challenge is, well, I think what a lot of companies struggle with, especially with, you know, changes to C-level or management, is that the company evolves over time. So you might have an owner that has a certain culture that they build with that first crew, and then leadership changes, and all of a sudden they have a different idea of what the team is. So we've really had the benefit of always wanting, always hiring and wanting to create this kind of unique place where people feel like they have a really good work-life balance. And we've been very self-aware during that process to make sure that we preserve that as we go. So everyone on the team kind of knows what they're getting signed up for versus, you know, a lot of especially even the tech companies in Chicago. All of a sudden, somebody signs on a big account, and now we're all working weekends. Or, I thought we were going to do a bunch of creative stuff. Now we're doing banner ads or something like that. So I think we have the advantage of, like Steve said, by kind of being the owners and having, you know, remained consistent. Everyone on the team knows what to expect, and so it kind of feeds the beast.
Well, I mean, I've been to your office, so I have no doubt that it's amazing to work with and for you guys. I mean, Steve, you're out in L.A., so you're not even in the office every day, but you are a robot with a tie around it. So I think if that doesn't say what it's like to be at 8-Bit Studios, the fact that there's a roaming robot with a tie with Steve's face.
The tie comes off on Fridays, casual Fridays. So
casual Fridays. I wasn't kidding when I said before, I'm going to set you guys up with Tie Bar. I think that's an amazing sponsorship. They should have a new tie for you every single day. Except Friday.
I need to work on my wardrobe. Yeah, you're right. I should step up my tie game.
Well, you look good in person, so the robot needs to be.
I
mean,
the robot's short. People
like that. I like that. It's good.
Don is taller than me, and you know that.
It's awesome.
That hurts a little bit.
I like to lean on Steve when he's on his robot.
I got to tell you, that would bother me.
What would?
Me being, you know, a tall guy, if I had to be a short robot, I think
it would bother you, really?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, you tall people have the thing.
We have a thing.
You do.
6 foot. That's
weird.
The thing.
It's
that's
weird.
6 foot or over or nothing.
If you look in the encyclopedia at the Brontosaurus, you'll see the 6 foot man. That's the only reference to Homo sapiens, I think.
Almost said it. Sorry.
That's you know what? That's
6 foot. That's the standard.
That is a standard.
If you're above that, I can't relate to you. If you're below that, I can't relate either. Well, and neither can the Brontosaurus.
Well, we can't relate then. But if I lean down.
So I want to say one more thing about the cultural stuff before I lose my train of thought. We're, I spent about 20 years in these like very large companies, Bank of America, Swiss Bank, all that stuff. And it took me a long time to kind of get my head out of that space when we started 8-Bit. And the benefit of having that experience is that when we get people into the company that don't believe it, that don't buy what we're selling, that still think that, you know, there are hidden rules that they're going to get bit by, we can help them navigate into a more authentic culture because it's all about authenticity at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would take it a step further before we move off of culture. It is important and it's very cool to be able to work for a company that you're happy and passionate about. But ultimately, as you sort of alluded to there, how do you bring that passion and that culture and make it impact your clients so that they sort of adopt that same thing? That's one of the things I think you guys also do very well. The fit between the client and you guys has to be right. And you guys aren't afraid to say, you know what, this is just not a good fit. So if you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll say that I started thinking about this as a road trip metaphor. Can we take a road trip together? Can we all sit in the car and drive to California? It's going to be like, 2,500 miles, and we're going to end up stopping for gas and eating in the car and, you know, swapping out music. And are we going to get angry with one another?
There's going to be Cheetos on the floor.
There's going to be Cheetos on the floor. You're going to get pissed off because it's my car, all that stuff. So we're really extremely picky about clients we work with and make sure that we have that, like, road trip mentality going in.
Well, and I think, too, that helps, you know, everyone wants to have shared teams. You know, you're like, you're not our client, we're not our vendor, we're partners, and there's so much BS around that.
We're collaborators,
yeah. We like, you know, you like read Fast Company on the plane, you're like, we're going to be that. There's like a better flow for
that's
the office.
That's how I start
now.
My day, man. What are you doing?
Exactly. So anyway, that's just a long way of saying we realize that, and this comes from experience too. I mean, we know if you get the wrong people involved, then the grind starts to happen and people spend less time, you know, enjoying themselves and more time worrying about how am I ever going to make this person happy or how is our team ever going to succeed? And then they start to think maybe this isn't the position for us. So, you know, it preserving our culture and preserving our team's happiness for us is the number one consideration because, frankly, I mean, we've got a really talented team. They could probably get a job anywhere. I mean, go ahead, 8-Bit Studios, go Twitter. You could hire all these guys. They'd be phenomenal. But
please don't hire our people.
Don't hire our people. But
no poaching.
It's just to say that their happiness and our culture is all we got. We can't, you know, we're not light bank funded. We don't pay, like, all our developers, like, $10 million to, like, you know, write 10 lines of code. So it really is about authenticity and making sure that the people who are there really want to be there, and we hold up our part of the bargain.
So much for having Lightbank on.
Yeah. Oops, yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
Have us on with Lightbank. That'd
there we go.
Fun.
Hey, yeah. There we go.
Let's change the metaphor. You go out to San Francisco, you get your signing bonus.
There you go. Now we're back on track.
In their defense, they don't overpay anyone, I don't think so.
I was gonna add, we know we're doing something right when our clients say that they'd rather come over and hang out at our office than theirs. It's like a break in their day. Yeah. So we know that's a good fit there.
I would say that's probably an understatement.
And that
there.
Happens a lot.
Yeah, especially awesome. If they're at 1871 and they say that, then we know we've got something.
That's true, because there's a lot of distractions there. I'm there all the time. It's a cool place, but there is a certain amount of, I don't know what the right word is for it necessarily, but the right business has to be something that everyone, it can't just be stuff sitting in the floor. Oh, that's a nifty chair. Oh, that's this is where we were supposed to conjugate. That's mm-hmm. It can't be that way. It has to be somewhere people conjugate, because that's where they conjugate.
And did you say conjugate?
I believe I said conjugate.
You said it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Congregate. Congregate.
Congregate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Conjugate.
Sorry,
that might
man.
Sound terrible.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like a. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get off that. But so tell us a little bit more about what 8-Bit Studios actually does. Like, what does the product look like? Where do you hang your hat?
Any
of you. I'm looking at all of you.
Yeah,
any
yeah. You. So we spend most of our time doing mobile apps for startups and bigger brands in Chicago. Our team is sort of like an end-to-end mini agency. So you go to any large company to do your brand marketing or brand strategy or any of those things. Generally speaking, those teams are between 6 and 10 people. I mean, unless you go to Razorfish and you get like 50 people yep. on, you know, making a cardboard box.
Yep.
So effectively speaking, we've got 3 to 4 full-on production teams that do everything from brand strategy to mobile strategy, design, user experience, and then we do full-on development. So we've got, effectively, that's just to say that our team's super versatile in creating whatever we need to create in order to get, you know, some rocket boosters on your business to get you to market. And most of the companies we work with, effectively, and they're in the situation where, do I want to spend 6 months or 9 months hiring the right people and making sure they're the right people and building my product? Or do I want to hire 8-Bit and in 3 months have a fully functional product, and during that time try to find the right people to fill in the gaps and then take the product forward?
Well, yeah, I mean, to give it a perfect example of that, it was in built in Chicago. They talked about Sushi Status, which is your sort of email-based task management, project management, maybe better. You guys could probably do a better job explaining it, but why don't you do that? What is Sushi Status?
Yeah, Sushi is a project we've been working on for a long time. It was basically solving our own problem. So when we started working with clients, we needed a way to keep them up to date on progress. And at the time, there really wasn't a great solution. A lot of project managers send out like spreadsheets as an attachment, and it's terrible. It was painful. It didn't look professional. So we built our own tool to accomplish that, and you know, over time, made it very specific and very customizable to meet our needs. And we just launched it this week, essentially, to share it with people. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of the fundamental problems we found is that, especially with entrepreneurs and startups and things, they need. I mean, you've got a small executive stakeholder team, and they need to be able to make decisions and make decisions quick because they don't have a huge runway to run with anyway. So what we were finding is most of our teams that we're working with, you know, they go back to phone calls and emails, and we spend a lot of time in meetings or a lot of times talking to developers trying to figure out where exactly are we. Are we going to hit our launch date? Are we going to hit our alpha, whatever it may be? And so we thought, well, okay, that's a lot of time wasted on that type of stuff. That's a lot of time wasted mentally worrying about where are we really, trying to figure that out. So we wanted to solve those problems, but also for the people who are product managers, liaisons, project managers, they were spending a lot of their time wasted trying to put together information from tools like Basecamp or, you know, pulling in user stories or doing pulling things from the tools their teams want to use. So you got development team, you got 10 guys, 5 guys, 2 guys, trying to pull that information and deliver it in a phone call or in an email is a lot of work. So this tool kind of marries both things. It speeds up project managers because in a few clicks, they can get that information out of those tools Friday and send that report Friday and then get it to the right stakeholders. So a CFO can get high-level user stories that were done that week, the velocity of the team, red flags from the team, and a CEO of that same stakeholder team can get where we're at high level budget wise, percentage of the way through, you know, maybe red flags and to-dos. And so effectively, you know, it's kind of trying to solve both problems at once, speed up the efficiency of the team altogether, but also make it easier to make quick decisions and potentially pivot or
I think it's a cool part. You actually, there's two things you brought up there that were interesting as far as this conversation has been with relating to your business, actually, as well as the culture part, is the development of Sushi Status sort of exemplifies your entire model, right, in that you are culturally sensitive and trying to make sure that you're accounting for what the other end, not just how you guys work together, but how the client is able to benefit from your work and stay participating in that work from the beginning to the end without it being sort of the, not to rip on Basecamp, but sort of that mess that just doesn't quite get the job done. And the reality that you guys took out the time to solve a problem that you had, but also really your client had, I think is, you know, speaks pretty well of what you guys are about.
Well, and I'd say Basecamp's a great example of, there's a lot of people that use Basecamp super well, and Basecamp's an extremely well-designed program. Yeah. No one ever would argue that. And they spend tons of their budget, I'm sure, every year making sure the usability is perfect. And we talk to a lot of project managers, and they're like, you know what? We know that tool's great. And those guys, that's a Chicago company. Those Jason, those guys are amazing. But the problem is a lot of their clients are just using it for to-dos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my gosh. We're having teams sign up for login, all this stuff to get to-dos going. So we thought, you know, let's not mess with that, because if you're using it for to-dos, even that is huge. So that's a case where with our status reporting tool, Sushi Status allows you to, with a click, integrate Basecamp to-dos. And so, boom, they get shot in. So even if your team already has a workflow set up and you've got even one liaison using it, it's no problem, because it's literally a few seconds for the project manager to pull that stuff in for the tool. So I think that any tool that allows other teams to realistically use the tools that are best for them, you know, instead of creating another tool, make a tool that integrates all the tools, you get a much more efficient process for everybody. Because when you tell a development team they got to use a different tool for tracking bugs, I mean, you won't hear a moan as loud as that ever.
Because
they're like, we got a workflow, I need to track conversations, we got to be able to switch. I don't have time to like make our stories nice for the stakeholders. Like, we just need to roll. You're slowing us down. So perfect. So basically, pull that integration in. You can do a status report, pull that information in, and it's no sweat, basically. Those project managers can still modify that text. You just spend a few minutes, and boom, it's all relevant to what happened that day. So
it's cool. And like I said, the second part of this actually is, and this, you can kind of flex the tech skills even more than you just did. But the idea that sort of email based stuff was sort of like on the fall, and then all of a sudden it's now back up on the rise, and using email is sort of the platform, and getting away from having, I've got my email, and then you've got Google had inbox, and you've got all these other little tools and things, and there's Slack, and there's just tons of like add-on tools that a person can use. For me, it's system overload. Like, I have three or four different companies that I have a piece of that I work on, and I get things sent to me from this. Yep, we're on Slack. We're on Trello. We're on this. Like,
yeah, right,
dude,
exactly.
I can't take this anymore. The email thing, one of our past guests and co-hosts of my other show, Turning Point, is an investor in a company called Tribe.do, and they've been on the show, and they were great, and they are an email-based platform as well. It's a task management system, and when I met with them and they first told me this, I was like, man, they didn't get the memo. This goes back a little while. They didn't get the memo that email is like, eh. And I started doing some research on it. I was like, wow, you know what? No, email actually, we just have to repurpose it and use it in a more efficient and better way.
Yep.
Email got away from us because we got lazy with it.
Yeah, right,
and there's so much more to pull out of it. And you guys, you know, among a few others, have figured that out and are sort of riding that new wave.
Yeah, optimization, relevancy is like, that's the problem with email. Like, no matter what. It's funny because you've got people now doing courses at events talking about effective emailing.
That's
what to put in subject lines, you know. All cats kind of stuff. And it's brilliant, because it is the case that email's been abused, but it's actually the perfect delivery mechanism, especially for status report. Because we interviewed a lot of people to do this tool. We try not to put anything in our own like little tech wish box. So the fact of the matter is, if an entrepreneur or stakeholder can be on a train and pull up a status report on their phone and make a decision based on what they're seeing on some number or some task or something like that, and that's effectively solving all those inefficiency problems. And so, yeah, again, we kind of started with, if we do another login, everyone's going to hate us and forget us. So let's try to work on, you know, what everyone's already got.
I think you're on the right path. And I can't wait to have you guys back on again. I'm sure we'll be hearing from Don. He's going to be doing some end segments. Well, maybe you too also, doing some end caps to some of our shows for industry innovators in the future. So we're looking forward to hearing some of that. I'm sure that we'll have you back to talk about the right way to do tech and the right way to do culture in the future. So thank you guys all for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot. Yeah,
thanks, Scott.
If there's any place for people to find out more about 8-Bit Studios, where do they go? How do they follow you?
What's our URL? What's that? Right.
Yeah, so it's 8bitstudios.com spelled out, and also sushistatus.com is also the other product, but you'll find it.
Do you guys want to give out Don's email address so everyone can just email him?
Son of a...
That's
awesome.
That's hard to find, Don.
That's great. That's good.
Don's not hiding.
We actually just on a random aside, the guys at the office created a scoreboard for the ping pong table with some like Bluetooth buttons, and every time somebody scores, it also automatically sends Don an email.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad that I asked.
Yeah, so in response, I told, it was our creative director in Chicago, I said, all right, stop sending those emails. Or else I'm going to spam you with the emails that I'm getting, and I'm also going to ding your credit report. And I always say that to people because they never know whether or not I can.
Yeah. I have no idea, but ding away, man. I get the little message of your credit report's coming out with another ding all the time, so it's fine.
Of course.
Put another dent in that fender, buddy. But at any rate, thank you guys for coming on. You can watch this episode and more at advisor.tv. Stream us on the WGM Plus and Rivet Radio app, or download each episode on iTunes, and remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGM. Boom, that's a wrap.